The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show
on KGO 810.
God save the queen.
The fascist regime.
She's the only one that didn't have anything to say today about Brexit.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Drexit Stage Left, a Brexit conversation on KGO 810, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGOradio.com. And we're going to start right off the bat with the CEO of a data analytics company. He is the CEO of Expert Systems Enterprise. And let's say good evening. Good evening, Daniel Mayer.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Well, it's been a frantic day. It really has with the, all things Brexit. And let's talk about, because you're going to talk about the analytical and the social media part that this campaign has played, and mainly Twitter. Can you talk about how that affected the outcome of Brexit?
Well, yeah, we've been running some analytics on the Twitter exchanges in the United Kingdom for the past month, approximately, and we've been seeing, progressively clearly the sentiment expressed on Twitter leaning towards the exit from the EU, and that's been pretty clear all through the month.
Now, one of the things that happened today, I noticed that there must have been some confusion because, I read this one article, this one person says, even though I voted to leave this morning, I woke up and I just realize, wow, the reality did really hit me. One woman told ITV, and she said, if I had the opportunity to vote again, I would vote stay. So there was this critical, I think, misunderstanding of the election, of the electorate in the UK, of what they were voting for, because some of the top questions that they were Googling is, how do I vote in the EU referendum, and what is Brexit? What were you seeing as far as questions were concerned?
I think there was a lot of confusion, you're right, and I think especially the way the issue was framed was really in emotional terms, and when governments appeal to the people in emotional terms, this is the type of outcome that we get. So it's perhaps hard to accept, but the vote has taken place now, so we have to live with it now.
Right, and so what were you seeing trending here in the United States? Because If you were watching the news cycle today or listening to the news cycle, it was pretty overwhelming. It looked like gloom and doom here for the whole world. And really, I mean, even though the stock market was off by 3.5 points percent-wise and down 600 points, it's not that big of a deal at this point. Would you agree?
Well, I think there's a bit of uncertainty at this stage as to what's going to happen. So the markets reacted, in real time. I think, of course, there's a lot of focus on the economy, on jobs, on, taxes and so on. And I think that's what drove the conversation, at least in Europe. I think same topics are coming up in the U.S. for the time being. But nobody really knows, if this is going to have a really long-term impact or if it's just a short-term market reaction for the time being.
So what makes Twitter a good barometer of these sort of election outcomes, and might this gauge what might happen in November here in the States?
Well, we think that Twitter is a pretty good barometer, especially for issues that are very polarized, very emotional, because in these types of scenarios, people want to come out and make themselves heard. So really the sample of relevant data goes up. And we think those are the best circumstances for really exploiting Twitter as a source of insight.
Well, Donald Trump is this guy, as I said earlier, it's like he keeps coming up Korean burritos. I mean, my God, the Republicans did not want him to go over to Scotland to tend to his golf course or whatever the hell he was doing over there. But he landed, and sure enough, things went his way, and it really played into his hands. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that there's certainly something to say for the talent that we see on both sides. I think for rebounding on these types of events and casting a positive light on them and in the perspective of either candidate's campaign. But I think in the medium term, whoever gets elected will need to deal with the more serious outcomes. So we'll see. We'll see by then. How well they're able to handle the situation.
One of the big pro get out guys was former Mayor Boris Johnson. My God, he is so Trump-esque. This could be a bromance made in heaven for these two guys. are you seeing any of that trending?
We haven't seen. We've been really focused on the conversation surrounding the Brexit, but he hasn't come up as a key figure in our analytics, at least. But we weren't looking for that type of data anyway. So he may be hiding in there.
Okay, so tell me what kind of data that you are looking for. You were watching closely today.
Yeah. So what we were mostly interested in was really which topics people were speaking about, and what we picked up, I think, in England was that really immigration apparently was the top. Topic that came up in these tweets, and government as a topic was close behind, and then it was more a question of healthcare, jobs, and so on, and there were smaller topics, but those were the ones driving the conversation, and that was what we were looking for. Another aspect that we were looking for was really, were there any differences in terms of how the debate went across time and across different regions. And we felt that actually the results were pretty stable over time during the month of June, with about 65% of tweets, in the UK, showing that people wanted to push for the exit. Actually, but what I'd like to do is really invite your audience, if anyone wants to come to our website at expertsystem.com, and all the data is there to download with. A full report on this study. So it's really interesting, I think, to look at in detail.
Okay, great. And so what are you asking people to give input as to their thoughts?
Well, we're always interested in people's insights, because what we want to do is really refine our methodology. And actually, we're starting to apply it now for the U.S. election, later on this year. So this was a pretty good proof of the impact of this type of data for elections, and we're going to do the same for the U.S. election. So stay tuned, and we'll be happy to share the data with you guys during our next IQ report.
I think it's fantastic, because we've counted on Pew, we count on Gallup to do the polls, but nobody answers their phone anymore. So you've got to wonder, how can you poll anyone anymore? So, I mean, really, what you guys are doing seems to me that's the way to go.
Listen, we have more data today than ever before, and I think these results show really cognitive technology at its best, with predictive insights as to what's going to happen next. And it's really what we're after, really helping, helping organizations, businesses do smarter business with these insights.
So, all right. Well, let's take a break here. 808-0810 is the number, 808-0810. We're talking to Daniel Mayer, I'm sorry. And we're talking about the analytics of the questionings that came out of Brexit today. I mean, what are your thoughts? 415-808-0810 is the number, and we'll continue the conversation coming up.
The Drex Radio Show, weeknights 7 to 10 on KGO 810.
It's Pride Weekend here in San Francisco and the entire Bay Area, and you're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO, and we'll be talking more about that and the big movie, summertime movies that are opening this weekend coming up. Right now I'm chatting with Daniel Mayer. He is the CEO of data analytics company's Expert System Enterprise. And I'm checking out your site, and this is very cool. So you guys were looking at more than 55,000 tweets, and you were analyzing this and discovered the main discussions and the trends regarding social media, regarding the Brexit or Bermain campaign. So some of the things that you found out that, and I find this very interesting, almost 65% of the tweets from Britain were inclined to leave the EU. Nobody knew. Everybody thought it was going to go the other way, but you guys saw it over the top.
Well, you know, that's what the data showed.
Right.
So, I mean, this is just translating the data.
So, I mean, as you see things now for the general election here in the country, in the United States, what are you seeing?
So, listen, we're just starting up, and this is going to be the focus of our next IQ report. This is what we call IQ reports, so where we take a snapshot of data and translate it into insights. So the next one is going to focus on the U.S. election. So it's a bit early to tell you our conclusions, I think, but I think you'll be really interested in the next report.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, I mean, Brexit comes as a surprise to many of us here in the United States, but obviously to you guys with the data that you were looking at, it did not. Let me ask you, what makes Twitter better than other platforms?
Well, I'm not sure that we would necessarily, call Twitter better than other platforms. I think it's just a question of context and a question of the type of insights that you're looking for. I think in this case, Twitter, with a very fast, real-time exchange of opinions, is lends itself to this type of conversation and just makes for a very good, very good source of data. I think in other instances, in other cases, Facebook or other media might be just as good or even better.
Right. I was going to ask you if it does differ, the data that you're gathering, does it differ at all from Facebook?
Well, there's always the aspect of the amount of data which is there in each message. Obviously, the tweets are pretty brief, so it's really different in terms of the substrate with which we're working on Facebook. There might be much more content in each communication. So it's a very different type of analysis that we would be able to make.
Well, the leaders over there in the UK, who were leading the Brexit drive, Nigel Farage and Boris Johnson, the former mayor of London. I mean, they really thought that they were going to lose. And turns out this morning they were not only triumphant. A few hours later, David Cameron was stepping down. So it came as quite a shock to even them. Are they using your analytics over there?
Well, we have a number of customers in the EU, who in the political sphere are using a platform to mine social data for these types of insights. I'm not going to share any names, but some of the main outfits out there are actually using the platform indeed.
Yeah, because no doubt what happened in the UK today is very disturbing to a lot of people over in Europe and probably most likely around the world. But I have to say, I mean, you've got conversations now. The Netherlands will leave. France might want to put this up for a debate. And I don't know. I mean, I guess they'll be looking. This would be a good barometer for them to gauge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think right now there's a bit of confusion, frankly, but we'll see over the next few weeks and months how the debate evolves. I think a lot of the continental nations are pretty attached to Europe nonetheless. So that's been the case in the past anyway. So we'll see if that holds.
Next predictions, the U.S. elections. Well, it will be very interesting, and we will be watching. I thank you very much, Daniel, for your time, and have a great weekend.
With pleasure. Thank you for having us.
You bet. All right. It truly is amazing. I mean, because, wow. And the other thing that I loved is, wow, what a novel thought that they actually used the popular vote. So all of the UK went out and voted. And then the other interesting things that I think that I got out of this today was, Scotland, where Donald Trump landed in Northern Ireland firmly or planted in the stay in the union position. And we're seeing so much. I think that it was a very disturbing if you were watching the stock market today. But at the end of the day, the U.S. market losses are not as catastrophic as, well, we were led to believe at the beginning. And as it went down, I think it was down 650 points at some point. And, well, we ended up with a decline of over 600. But we're down. The decline is 3.4% in the broad stock market. I mean, so sure, any triple-digit drop in the Dow is frightening. But this one was no bigger than, you know, those that we witnessed in Wall Street. They were certainly worse when you think of the recession and 9/11 and all of those things. So the guys from Oppenheimer said, it's not the end of the world as we know it, so we got to believe. So we would just hang in there and believe. And by the way, it's like I was talking to a couple stock guys, and they're saying, you know, the European stocks are probably just a small slice of most people's portfolios, so don't freak out.
Right. You've got the whole Tokyo Nikkei index, and right. I don't know what else, but I'm no expert, there's more to the world.
I was getting the whole word that it's not as bad. It's not all bad for the global economy.
I'm actually really heartened that it's not making everything go crazy because it doesn't need to be a knee-jerk reaction if you've got, 2 years for them to hammer out look like. So
yeah,
it's just a hiccup, an indicator.
And the other thing I got was dividend stocks might even get a boost from the Brexit. So hang on. I don't know. I was looking out there today. If you follow the stock market, I saw a couple buys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, it's going down. Let's swoop in and grab some.
But I wasn't brave enough today to pull the trigger on anything.
But you're looking.
But you're, yes.
Well, you're always in the game.
You need to always be looking. You know, when it's down 600 points, there are some buying opportunities out there. Not that I'm suggesting that you do anything, but if you play the game, you know what time it is. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to move on to, we got a big weekend happening here in San Francisco. It's Pride Weekend, and we'll discuss all the things that are going on, and we've got a lot of big movies opening this weekend, including, Independence Day.
Yes. Speaking of Brexit, they're getting their independence. We have Independence Day, also The Shallows and Free State of Jones.
All right, we'll check in with Tim Sika coming up here on the Drex Radio Show with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Grant.
Drex on the next generation of KGO. 810.
And me, Tim. When we broke through to pull us free, the only ones left to tell the tale was Joe.
All right, it's time for Timothy Sika, and that means it's movie time in America. Hi, Timothy. Good evening.
Good evening, Drex. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, you know, Drexit, Brexit. I'm ready for the weekend. How about you?
Drexit. Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, I hope it cools down here a little bit in the South Bay. It's really, really hot. I know it's not as bad in San Francisco, but boy, in the South Bay here,
you guys are cooking. Yeah, I don't know what the temperature is, but I saw the triple digits next week, and I don't know.
Yeah, they were predicting triple digits today. I was listening. I think it was actually KGO I was listening, and they said, well, we have some good news for our South Bay listeners. We're going to rescind the triple digit temperature predictions and just tell you that it's just going to go into the 90s.
The 90s, right. Doesn't make it any better. No.
No.
When you're in a house without air conditioning. Hell no.
Yeah, really.
I agree with you. All right, so I'm going to make this really easy. We're going to play our movie game again. We're celebrating Pride all week and welcoming the Indigo Girls to the Mountain Winery on Tuesday, August 9th. Tickets are on sale now at themountainwinery.com, but you can win your tickets here. So we'll take the first, if you can't get this movie, now come on. Here we go. The first person to tell me what movie this is. Here we go.
What was Mr. Zuckerberg's ownership share diluted down to?
It wasn't.
808-0810.
You're making it so easy.
I know.
I don't know if I know it. I don't know if I heard it.
Really? Okay, I'll give you the dry version.
What was Mr. Zuckerberg's ownership share diluted down to?
It wasn't.
You know, it does narrow it down to a few movies. Okay. Is it the Lego movie?
I'm not telling.
Oh, okay.
I'm not telling. 808-0810. Okay, so we'll start with, and we're going to go back here 20 years since the invasion and Independence Day, the resurgence, and let me play the trailer here.
Okay.
20 years ago, when we destroyed the mothership, we detected a burst in an X-band frequency directed toward deep space.
They're coming back.
That is definitely bigger than the last one.
4th of July. So let's show them some fireworks.
Hold on!
They like to get the landmarks.
All right. Well, let's see what we think, because I've been waiting for this one. I'm excited to hear what you think.
Well, 20 years later, submitted for our approval. Rather than recount the plot here, seriously, because it all just turns out to be this contrived excuse to bring back the aliens from the first one, and they're back with a vengeance, and they keep telling us that all the way through the movie. Like, they have to tell us that. I mean, it's so obvious from the visuals, but only this time the aliens, they've ramped up their seriousness by about 500%. It's hard to heave on this movie in a way, because in a lot of respects it's an improvement over the original, certainly in terms of its special effects sequences. There's a smoothness about the filmmaking that was absent from the original. It's a little less over the top, I think, than its predecessor. It's about as respectable a movie as Roland Emmerich, its director and king of the schlock sci-fi billion-dollar epic disaster movies, will probably ever make. So in its own way, it's kind of okay. The problem for me was that it lacked the ragtag kind of fun feel of the original movie, which I thought was a terrific entertainment. And when you compare them, it's kind of bland, even though it's, you know, it's,
really?
Its slick quotient is way up there. But I didn't find it as entertaining as its predecessor. It wasn't as funny, certainly. Not as fresh. Will Smith is absent on this go-round, I think much to the film's detriment. I think it suffers for that. Jeff Goldblum is back. He plays that wisecracking MIT scientist. Judd Hirsch is back as his father. He has the most fatuous line in the movie as he's trying to escape the tsunami destruction, which is sort of rapidly unfolding behind him. He goes, God, this one's definitely bigger than the last one, you know, like, we needed to be told that, you know. Bill Pullman returns as the former president, Whitmore, and he looks and acts. This is also was silly. He looks and acts like he's aged 60 years rather than the 20 years we're told has passed since he fought those alien bastards.
Right.
It was so weird. He just they make him to be decrepit, and he's got like a cane and everything. It's ridiculous. Anyway, this is interesting though, Drex. Maybe even prescient. There is now, in the Independence Day resurgence universe, a female president.
And it's sellout Ward, right?
Yeah.
And she sounds just like Hillary. I do have a cut. Let's take a listen to that.
Yeah.
On this day, in 1996.
Wow, she does.
The world escaped the clutches of extinction. But in their sacrifice, we found the technology to build a stronger and safer Earth. Because our survival is only possible when we stand together.
Well, now it's Hollywood. That's no damn coincidence.
Right.
Come on.
And you know, it's really funny. She keeps asserting herself by giving orders to attack the aliens, like, take them out, Commander. And then she there's a line where she goes, I'm authorizing immediately a retaliatory strike. Let's do it. As if to assure people that may think that Hillary Clinton isn't hawkish enough. I don't know. But the movie's okay. It seemed a little tame, especially when compared to the kind of crackling campiness of the first one. It'll be interesting to see how audiences take to it, because it's 20 years later, and I think that's going to be a potential box office handicap, because what is that? Like, 20 years is like almost a generation, right?
Yeah. I went back because I knew it was coming out this weekend. I went back last weekend and looked at the one from 20 years ago, the original, and I forgot that Will Smith was not going to be in this one. So I can imagine without Will Smith, I would miss him.
Yeah, his presence is definitely missed. They have an actor whose name escapes me playing his son. But it's always one of those things they do when they can't get the guy they want. Like, you know, when they made Godfather 3, they couldn't get Robert Duvall,
sure.
So they got, what's his name? George Hamilton or something, which was just like you going, oh God, please, where's Robert Duvall?
Didn't work, right.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just, I don't know, it wasn't as fun as the original one.
Well, before we move on to the next movie, I want to ask you, I have a list here of, let me see, this is according to who? Rolling Stone's list of 11 best movies of 2016 so far. Not in any particular order, but Captain America, Civil War.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, I agree.
Deadpool. Watched that last weekend. Loved Deadpool.
Okay, yeah, I see. That's a good one. Yeah.
De Palma, the documentary of Brian De Palma.
That I have yet to see, but I can't wait to see that. That's supposed to be really good, yeah.
Everybody Wants Some?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
The Fitz.
Art House, Animal House, I guess.
I don't remember us talking about The Fitz.
The Fitz, no, we didn't. That's a small indie film it's very good. Yeah, we didn't talk about it, but that's a good one in there. What else they got?
Well, they have Hail Caesar, and you liked it, but you didn't think it would work out box office-wise, and that's the way it turned out.
I liked it too. I think we said we talked about the fact that it was like the Coen brothers, it seemed like they made it for themselves and for a handful of people who may have known enough Hollywood esoterica to appreciate what it was they were satirizing, because it's really esoteric. Okay, I can see that too. What else they have listed?
They have The Jungle Book. Love and Friendship.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sing Street.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Witch.
Yeah.
And Zootopia.
Yeah, those are, I'm pretty much in accord with those. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a look at Hail Caesar. I was thinking about it this past weekend. I thought, well, maybe I'll watch Hail Caesar this weekend.
I'm not saying this because I'm talking to you right now on the KGO airwaves, but I think you'll really dig its sophistication and its wit.
Because it's Hollywood making fun of itself.
Well,
right?
I also happen to agree. Some of the performances that were turned in are worth seeing it. I found the storyline to, be a little beyond the pale after a while. Just, okay, I'll roll with it. I'll suspend my disbelief. But George Clooney's performance is amazing, as is, what's her name, girl with pearl necklace...
Under the Skin, Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, that was definitely worth seeing right there.
I'm going to take a look at it. But I have to tell you, I don't know what my problem is that I was putting off watching Deadpool. So when I finally watched it, I was thinking to myself, what a dumbass. Why have you waited this long to watch Deadpool?
Really, it's good, because I've had a bias against it. I'm like, not another superhero movie.
That's why I didn't.
And it was I understand it kind of lampoons the genre itself?
It does.
I'm going to love it.
It breaks the fourth wall and everything. It's great.
Yeah, it's anything but your run-of-the-mill comic book movie. My God, and it's nasty and filthy, too.
Okay, I'm all over it.
Yeah.
You will love it. You will love it.
Yeah.
Especially after the week that we've had here.
Can one make a drinking game out of it? I mean, for every time there's a... Okay. I'm watching it this weekend.
Well, there you go. Every time he breaks the fourth wall.
Oh, okay. Great. With a nod to the audience or the camera.
Who is the actor?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
that's
I like
right.
him. Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, I want to say this because I think it's Pat Thurston took her kids to see this.
She did, and I chastised her for that.
All right, I thought I was right about that.
Yeah, I said, "What were you drinking that day when you made that decision?"
Yeah, that had to be uncomfortable to watch with your kids.
Oh my God!
So not a family movie.
Not a family movie.
Not
just
at
like
all.
Bad Santa is not a family movie. Okay.
In the same vein, that's a good comparison.
Oh, okay, I'm going to love this movie. I can't wait.
That's really good that you said that because, the Bad Santa thing, I think there were other people who got caught off guard with that, and I loved Bad Santa. I can take a look at that every once in a while with Billy Bob Thornton.
That's a nasty movie too, boy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You were talking about when we were having this conversation about Will Smith. By the way, he admitted that the Wild Wild West sucked. He said, I had so much success that I started to taste global blood and my focus shifted from my artistry to just winning, and I wanted to win and be the biggest movie star, and I really blew it with The Wild Wild West.
Yeah, that was just, boy, that movie just, God, what an awful movie. Have you seen it?
No, but I remember the dance.
Yeah, well.
Any movie that has a dance that comes out with it isn't going to do real well.
I remember the spider, the big giant spider, and that's it. And I kept saying, what does this have to do with the Wild Wild West? Oh, my God, that was so hard to get around.
I was drinking my way through it, so I probably don't remember
that helped,
much of it.
That would definitely help, yeah.
All right, well, we come back with Tim Seeker. We'll talk about Matthew McConaughey's new movie, Free State of Jones, and The Shallows with Blake Lively, all on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
KGO 810 traffic.
Drex, I hope you don't mind me saying, if you guys do a drinking game while watching Deadpool, you will be unconscious before the movie is over.
Oh, okay. with the fourth wall?
Yes. I hope you've got a nice soft spot to fall over on.
When I gave her that challenge, I was trying to think how many times he did it, but you're right, a lot.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I watched it with my nieces, not knowing what I was getting into.
That's the thing. Everybody thinks it's like a superhero movie, and it's not.
No, don't take your young kids to see that show. No.
Very uncomfortable. 2 hours, for sure. Okay, thank you, Lee.
Drex,
you
on the next generation of KGO.
And away we go. An invisible man sleeping in your bed. Who you gonna call? This is brand new Fall Out Boy with Missy Elliott. And the theme song for the new Ghostbusters movie. All right, we'll give it a chance here. Missy to step up. I love Missy Elliott. And there you have it, Fall Out Boy and Missy Elliott and the Woo-hoo! Theme song for Ghostbusters.
That sounds like maybe it should have been in Deadpool.
Right, it would have worked in Deadpool
it
for sure.
It would have.
By the way, I want to congratulate our winner, the guest of the movie. Let me see.
What was Mr. Zuckerberg's ownership share diluted down to?
It wasn't.
Who was it, Valerie?
That was Mr. Peter in Danville got the answer right.
The Social Network.
Yeah. Our first caller said, is it The Notebook? I was like, no, it's not
Zuckerberg.
The Notebook.
I'm being humbled on the air because I didn't know that it was from The Social Network, and I know that movie. Who was saying it? Who was delivering the line?
Let's take a listen.
What was Mr. Zuckerberg's ownership share diluted down to?
Oh, it wasn't. Zuckerberg was the giveaway.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, you know, Drex, you were saying earlier about Hail Caesar, and Valerie was talking about the performances. I just want to mention a real quick thing about that movie. There's a performance in there by this young actor named Alden Ehrenreich, who's going to be the new Indiana Jones, that you have to watch for when you watch the movie. He's really funny. He plays this cowboy who's cast in this, like, Merchant Ivory movie, and the director can't get him to deliver the lines without his thick cowboy accent.
Oh,
and he's
that was
really
kind
great.
Of precious.
Yeah.
Think of who's the great the kid who died too young, Rebel Without
James Ledger.
Dean, like a James Dean cowboy character that just cannot deliver a line to save his life.
Right. But anyway, he's really, really, really great, and it's something to watch for when you watch, in addition to what Valerie else was saying about the other performances, something to watch for when you see Hail Caesar.
Okay, well, let's talk about now Free State of Jones, and Matthew McConaughey was on CBS Sunday Morning, and he was talking about his character in Free State of Jones. So let's take a listen.
I think his DNA was sort of written in the Bible and the Declaration of Independence. I mean, here's a guy who believed there were no kings on earth above him. There's one king, and that's God. And so his faith trumped the dominant values of society at that time.
So this is about the Confederates during the Civil War.
You know, first of all, I want to say McConaughey is great in this movie, and it's a Civil War movie. It's this little-known story which was inspired by the life of this guy named Newton Knight, which is the role he plays, who led this armed rebellion against the Confederacy in Jones County, Mississippi during the American Civil War. And it stars McConaughey. He plays Newton Knight, who was this historic figure. He was a farmer, a soldier, a Southern Unionist, who became a deserter in October of, I think it was, the film said 1862, for what we're told in the movie were these moral reasons. And the film is a dramatization of how he got together this band of Southerners, including several black slaves and hundreds of other Confederate deserters, in this swamp region of Jones County, Mississippi, to form an army in response to what he saw as an infringement on the rights of these citizens and soldiers of the Confederacy, whom he thought were being exploited, enslaved, and robbed. And it's an amazing story. I never knew of the story. It's a very good film. My only thing about this movie is I think it should have been a great film. And by that I mean it plays somehow, weirdly, like it's been cut. And by cut, I mean like they cut chunks out of the story. I'm wondering if the original script was more like a 3 hour and 45 minute running time as opposed to the 2 hours and 19 minutes of runtime that this version we have here, because I think it would have played better at almost 4 hours, if that makes any sense. It feels like little key components are missing, that scenes were cut, incidents compressed. But that said, for the most part, everything that did wind up in this theatrical cut, I really loved. The story, the characters, the history, you know, during the war, following Reconstruction. And actually, the movie spans the years 1862 through 1950. There's a modern-day story going on in this, too. But the acting, the writing, the way it was shot, the cinematography is exquisite. It's getting very mixed to mediocre reviews, apparently. I've not read any of them, but I'm hearing that people aren't liking this movie. And I don't know. I hope all your listeners go check it out, because it's really good. It's really good.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you about Matthew McConaughey, because he did this interview with People Magazine, and I was playing part of it last night, where he was talking about things that he doesn't like, and fake boobs was one of his top things.
As overrated?
Overrated, yeah, fake boobs.
There aren't any fake boobs in Free State of Jones.
Okay, so, but yeah. When we were listening to him, I mentioned that listening to Matthew sometimes in conversation, it almost seems like he has becoming a parody of himself.
He's a caricature of himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Hey, have you guys ever heard? Matt Damon. Matt Damon's impersonation of Matthew McConaughey.
No.
You have to go on YouTube and just put Matt Damon impersonation Matthew McConaughey. He did it on Letterman. It is so hilarious. You'll have to stop it several times because you'll be laughing so hard.
Oh, that's great. Can you hold on through the top, because I want to do the Shallows. And
sure,
if you can, because I had my sound guy. So Esquire magazine came up with the 50 smoothest pickup lines in movie history.
Ooh.
And I had my sound guy pick out some of the best ones. And I want to run them by you because I think it'll be fun.
Okay, great. I'd love to stick around for
that. Smoothest movie pickup lines ever. So, I mean, it's Friday night, but it's date weekend, date night. Yeah.
Let me tell you, guys out there, you got to pick up your game, so take notes.
All right. we'll be back with Tim Sika in just a few minutes after the top of the hour, and you're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.